Let's talk about the SNP. One Labour TD has proposed making vasectomies free to all, and the Health Minister is minded to agree. But would Irish men avail of the procedure, or would they prefer to leave responsibility for contraception to their female partners? It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty, and today we're looking at male contraception and tackling some of the myths surrounding vasectomies. Labour TD Marie Sherlock, she kicked off the conversation recently because she proposed making the procedure free for all.
Ultimately, we, you know, firmly believe it shouldn't just fall to the woman in terms of looking at contraception, that the responsibility very much needs to fall on the man as well. If a couple have you know, completed their family, those fortunate enough to have children, through the GP. So the reality is it should be much more widely available across the country compared with, you know, the ongoing cost for a female in terms of ongoing contraception or indeed tubal ligation, which is a much more invasive procedure.
Health Minister Jennifer Carroll-McNeill accepts that the provision of this service is patchy across the country and says that the new National Sexual Health Strategy is scoping the potential for expanding access to both male and female sterilisation. But even if those vasectomies were more widely available or available cost-free, would Irish men avail of it? Or would they share the attitude of this well-known broadcaster?
For me to take responsibility for contraception like the SNP would be an outrageous affront to me, number one, because I'd be very particular about who I'd let touch down there. So, I mean, I know one guy who had it and then got involved in a second relation and had it reversed. And I can think of nothing worse. A slip of the SNP and it could cause chaos down there. No, I can't have that.
Not
at all.
Candidate either.
And not only that, I even get squeamish thinking about cutting it and all that kind of thing.
And that is a person who needs very little introduction and whose attitude probably won't surprise you. Ivan Yates, formerly of this parish. Well, here with me in studio today is Dr. John McCormick. John runs Vasectomy Ireland. So it's very clear, John, what you specialise in, and his clinics in Dublin, Cork and Galway. You're very welcome to News Talk Daily, John.
Thanks, Ciara. Thanks for having me on.
You strike me as the type of person that Ivan Yates would be very, very afraid of. You could be his nemesis because you specialise in vasectomies. This is what you do.
Yeah, this is the 100% daytime job.
Morning to evening, 5 days a week.
Yeah, as much as possible, yeah. And every man that meets me is nervous coming in the door and they're relieved walking out the door.
The kind of concerns or nervousness that you talk about, that ick factor that I even expressed there, is that quite typical then of the majority of your patients and the attitude of the Irish male?
No, I think Ivan's attitude to it is probably more old fashioned and a different generation. And the nervousness that men have is just they're getting a procedure on a sensitive area. As men, we spend our whole life protecting them and you have to lie there exposed for 15 minutes while you get a procedure. And that's just uncomfortable. But most men that get it done are happy to do it, willing to do it. They have researched it. A lot of the reports are, I don't want my wife to have to use contraception.
Okay, so look, we want to start with the very basics here because there are so many myths about what a vasectomy is, what it does, what's involved. What exactly is a vasectomy?
So a vasectomy is a surgical procedure which blocks the flow of sperm out of the testicles. Some people refer to it as sterilisation, but that's incorrect because as men, after a vasectomy, you're always going to make sperms. And that's the natural thing. We're just blocking the outflow. Traditionally, it has been a more invasive procedure up until about 15 or 20 years ago in this country, where you would have to have two incisions either side of the scrotum, have stitches afterwards, and more likely to have a longer recovery period, bleeding, swelling. But with a no-scalpel vasectomy, it's much less invasive. It typically takes 10 to 15 minutes. Recovery time is quicker, complications are less.
So the patient then is awake, local anaesthetic?
Yeah, so the whole procedure is you'll come in the door, you'll obviously have some paperwork to fill out. Local anaesthetic takes 15 minutes. By the time you're finished having it done, you've either got a small clip or a small stitch left inside the scrotum on each side, which helps to keep the two ends apart. But there's different ways of actually doing the vasectomy itself, but typically there'll be some sort of barrier in there to create an obstruction.
So what exactly do you do? Do you create a little bit of an opening or?
So in a scalp vasectomy, you make a pinpoint hole near the top of the scrotum and you widen that pinpoint hole. So what you get is about a 5 to 8 millimeter small tear in the skin, and you create a little pocket of space underneath it. And through that, you can access the vas deferens. So the vas deferens are the tubes that carry sperm up, and we block that off. Typical procedure to block it off is we cauterize, we burn a small piece inside the tube. Then we cut the tube, so you've divided it into two, and then one end is tucked away behind tissue, and that's held in place with a stitch or a clip. And the end coming out of the testicle is left open. That's what's called an open-ended vasectomy. The idea behind that is because the testicle is always going to make sperm, we're trying to keep pressure off the testicle. What happens afterwards is that the body will naturally reabsorb sperm and get rid of sperm, and that's always going to happen.
That was actually my question. Where does the sperm go?
Yeah, your body just reabsorbs it.
Okay, so I was reading somebody's description actually on the journal website about their vasectomy, and they said they went in, 15 minutes, wide awake. The only thing that bothered him was this smell of burning. That gave them the ick factor. So that's what that is.
Yeah, that's one of them. There's a few things that give them the ick. The preparation. Some men don't want to have to manscape or shave around the area, and we ask them to do it beforehand. And that's more of a stress for some people than getting the procedure done. The smell of cautery puts some people off. If you've talked to anybody that's had laser eye surgery, they'll tell you the same thing. They distinctly remember the smell of burning tissue, but that's just natural for any surgical procedures. If that's as bad as it gets, it's not too bad.
How common is it here, and how do we compare with other countries?
It's difficult to get an exact number here because the vast majority are done in private clinics like myself. I'd estimate between 10 to 15% of couples will choose a vasectomy as their method of contraception. We'd be quite similar to the UK in terms of profile demographic. If you look at Canada, it's about 18% to 20%. They have a social healthcare system where they pay tax and they'll get it for free over there. New Zealand tops the list, where about 1 in 4 men will get a vasectomy.
Why is that? Why is it so different culturally?
Culturally, it's just a cultural difference in acceptance. If you look at Africa, there's a big, African nations are not accepting of vasectomies. It's a big taboo.
A rough estimate is 10 to 12% of couples who choose vasectomy as their form of birth control. Mm-hmm. Is that then generally your patient, somebody who's in a couple, in a relationship and has had children?
Yeah, so the typical profile is men between the age of 35 and 45, and they have 2, 3 or 4 kids or one kid. And the 40 to 45 year olds are probably maybe 60% of that group, and the 35 to 40s make up the rest. About 1 to 2% of patients I see are men in their 20s or early 30s with no children.
And who've made a decision that they don't want to have children, and this is just something they're more comfortable with.
Yeah.
This suits their lifestyle.
Yeah.
What about recovery time?
So the average recovery is about a week. I always emphasise average. Everybody's different. You'll meet men that tells you it was a day or two. They took a couple of paracetamol. They were fine. You'll meet somebody else that will say it took longer than the week. They needed more paracetamol and ibuprofen than expected. It's not that they had any great complications. It's just taking them longer to settle. So average is about a week. So what we tell them is to expect bruising around the cut where we make the little opening. That's normal. So it looks bruised. It doesn't look pretty, but that's very superficial. It settles quite quickly. The chance of bleeding inside the scrotum is small, but no exercise for a week and no heavy lifting for 3 or 4 days keeps the risk of bleeding as low as possible. Pain management is just over-the-counter meds, so paracetamol, ibuprofen.
And about, so the pain scale then is, you know, 1 to 10.
Most guys say it's a 3 to 4 out of 10. And a really common phrase that you hear is, I know something's happened down there. I'm not necessarily in pain, but I know something's going on.
So it's kind of discomfort then, is it?
Yeah.
And what about sexual intercourse? Do you have to abstain from that for a period of time?
There's no hard or fast rules about it, but I'd say give it 4 or 5 days. Make sure you're pain-free.
Which, let's face it, if you have 2, 3 or 4 kids, is probably
it's
way above the average anyhow. So it's not.
It's not top of the list.
It's not top of the list. Exactly. Yeah. That's a good way of putting it. What about its effectiveness? Is it 100% effective? So I mean, is any procedure 100% effective?
So yeah, exactly. There's nothing 100% effective. There's no method of family planning 100% effective. And there's no method of family planning risk-free. The failure rate with the vasectomy is a little less than 1 in 2,000. So that's as good as it gets. But that means that, you know, so after 3 months, a man has to do a sample. He can do the sample at home, gets posted to one of the hospitals or one of the fertility clinics that we use. If that sample comes back clear and we say your vasectomy is effective, then the long-term failure rate is just under 1 in 2,000.
Oh, so it's very effective.
Yeah, pretty effective.
Is it more effective than condoms?
Yeah, condoms are about 95% effective. So 5% failure rate is the official data. That's probably skewed by the end user as well.
Can it be reversed? Because that's something, I think that is one of the myths, this assumption. Yes, look, it doesn't matter if you decide after a few years, you know what, I do want to have another child, or you want to have your first child, or you start a new relationship, I can get it reversed. Can you?
Yeah, you can. But it's a bigger deal. It takes a couple of hours. It's a general anaesthetic, so it's a more invasive procedure. And you're putting yourself at risk of more complications by having to do it. So you really want to be sure family's complete before you get a vasectomy. There is also an alternative called TESE, T-E-S-E, which is basically microsurgical sperm extraction. So you can take sperm directly from a testicle, and then the man's partner would have to get fertility treatment.
Oh, so you can just like freeze it?
Yeah.
And save it?
You can isolate it afterwards. So even after a vasectomy, you can take sperm directly out of a testicle, and you can freeze it before you ever get a vasectomy as well.
Very interesting. There are suggestions. We heard that from Marie Sherlock, and again, it was picked up by Jennifer Carol McNeill, the health minister, that it should be made available for free to all men in the same way that things like condoms and hormone treatments are being made available for all without cost slowly. First of all, how expensive is this procedure?
So if you're searching around Ireland, it's going to cost between 550 to 650 euro, depending on where you go. That's the typical price. You could be referred to a public hospital. Some public hospitals do it, but it won't be a no-scalpel vasectomy. It'll be a traditional vasectomy, so it's more invasive. So that 550 to 650 is like a clinic like I operate and colleagues around the country operate. If you go to a private hospital to get it done because you want to get a general anaesthetic and be put asleep for it, which is unnecessary, that's about 2,800.
And I presume if you have private health insurance, you'll be able to claim some of that back. Is it covered under most of those policies?
Most insurers refund about two-thirds of the cost, and they don't pay doctors directly for it. They cover it under everyday care expenses, so similar to going to a GP. But for example, VHI on some policies will refund 400 euro, but that is not all policies, so it's quite specific.
Okay. So do you think this is something that should be made free?
Well, if you talk about things being equitable, women are getting free contraception care up to the age of 35. And if you want to make family planning more accessible and open to men, it's something that should be looked at. What you don't want is men being forced into doing it, or men that just never really want to get it done and are getting it done because it's free. What you want is centres around the country that do high volumes of these. So to really provide an effective vasectomy service, it's recommended that you have what's called a high volume clinic. So you're doing it all the time.
Because there's risks involved?
Of course there's risks, yeah. Any procedure has risks. So first, I mentioned some of them, like bruising and bleeding. Some men can get a small lump inside the scrotum called a granuloma, which is an inflammatory nodule. So it's an inflammatory reaction where sperm are being reabsorbed. That can be tender when it starts initially. Normally it responds pretty well to ibuprofen, so just over-the-counter Nurofen, but it'll take months for that little nodule to go away. The really important risk, getting a vasectomy, is potential for long-term pain. So this is the one that you emphasize to everybody. So any pain that's persisting for 3 months or longer that's interfering with life is the definition of post-vasectomy pain. Right? That's a pretty big scoping definition, because it's any pain and it's 3 months or longer. So if you give surveys to 1,000 men and said, have you had any discomfort, whether it be intermittent and you haven't treated it and it's gone away after 3 months, you'll find data out there that says up to 5% experience it at some stage. That's quite a lot. That's 1 in 20. I don't see that number coming back. And the rest of my colleagues will tell you the same. We'll probably hear from about 1% with something at some stage that either is slow to get better or needs to be treated. Ultimately, around 1 in 1,000, 1 in 1,200 will ultimately seek a vasectomy reversal to try and solve the problem or go see pain specialists. And it's just the nature of the area that you're operating on. It's a similar procedure for men getting hernia repairs. There's about a 2% chance of chronic pain in the groin after getting a hernia repaired. So it's the nature of the area you're dealing with.
Okay, when I've heard this topic come up in conversation, and at 43 years of age, as I am now, you know, most of my friends, in fact, nearly all of my friends have had their children,
yeah,
are in relationships and have said, you know, that's it, we're done having kids. And it'll inevitably come up at a dinner table after a few drinks. Somebody will say, you'll never guess where I was last week, I had the snip. And it's a big, you did not, can't believe it. It's almost like a high five. Well done, you took one for the team. And then it leads to a wider discussion about vasectomies. at the table, right? This is something I've literally talked about on a regular, I feel like I've talked about on a regular basis over the last couple of years. You know, somebody will admit to having one. Then somebody will say, me too, actually, I did it last year. And then it's another high five and well done you. And aren't you so brave and progressive? And then somebody will admit to thinking about it. Oh yeah, we're discussing it. Maybe, maybe not, not too sure. And then there will inevitably be somebody at the table who'll say, John, absolutely not. Not a hope is somebody going near my precious parts with a scalpel or anything else. I'm not letting anybody near it because of the fear of pain, but the fear that it'll do some damage, and it'll do damage to your ability to have sex, really. So is there any chance it could damage your testicles, damage your ability to get an erection, or damage your libido?
Okay, no is the short answer to the libido one.
Okay, say that again out loud for the boys at the back of the room, John.
I'm going to say you have to give the guys some credit for getting a vasectomy and saying, I've done my bit.
Yeah, I've never heard this before. And maybe it's just because of the age group that I'm in. But I've definitely witnessed more and more men, you know, admitting to it or bringing it up as a conversation point.
I think that's just the stages of life we go through. You have a kid, you're talking about what obstetrician did you go to, then you're talking about childcare, then you're talking about schools, and then the family's complete and you're talking about who's going to take responsibility. So I think it just circles around stages of life, and that's why it comes up. To the guys that really don't want to do it, they probably haven't researched it. They'll probably never get it done. But to expel the myths about it, your testicles make testosterone. That is always going to continue. Testosterone is the male sex hormone, and that's what controls your libido. So it does not affect your libido. It does not cause erectile dysfunction. Everything works as normal afterwards. The physiological side of what happens after a vasectomy is that when a man ejaculates, about 5% of that ejaculate is sperm from the testicles. So when you get a vasectomy, you're just stopping 5% being ejaculated. The 95%, which is fluid that carries the sperm, comes from behind the prostate, and you still ejaculate as normal.
Major, major myth there debunked. Mm. Thank you very much. I didn't know that. Is there any potential psychological implications here for people?
It's something I was asked about it this morning by a man that was signing the consent form. It's something I have on the consent form for men to sign. It's not something that you can really associate with it. Does a vasectomy directly cause a psychological thing? No is the answer. But if somebody really comes in not wanting to get it done and has a major issue with it, but feels under a lot of pressure that they have to do it, then I would say they're probably more likely to have a hang up about it afterwards, and they will find a problem. So this is why I think you have to be careful in offering free surgical procedure care to people, because you don't want men getting it done that really don't want to get it done or are not suited to getting it done.
The Catholic Church at one point was opposed to this quite vociferously. Mm. You know, I think it was seen as a real type of mutilation, a type of sin. Do we have any sort of religious hangover here?
I don't think so anymore. I think it's very much a changed Ireland. But if you go back to when vasectomies were first started in this country, there's two doctors, Dr. Andrew Wren and Dr. John O'Keefe, were probably the first two doctors in the country to ever do them. And Andrew Wren will tell the story of being visited by the local Catholic priest asking him to stop doing it. And you will meet some doctors, very few these days, but you will meet some doctors along the way that for religious reasons, they won't prescribe contraception to women. They won't prescribe more than after pills. So some doctors will have their personal beliefs and they wouldn't agree with it either. And I just think as a society, any hang-ups are largely gone. So let's come back to Ivan's comments at the beginning. That's a different generation, I think.
Move on, Ivan. That's what we're saying. Move on, Ivan. Welcome to 2025. What about chemical alternatives, John? Are we any closer to seeing a widely available male contraceptive pill or a contraceptive injection? And why has male contraception lagged behind so much?
So there's always newspaper reports. If you read the Daily Mail, you'll see them, about a new study for a male pill or a male gel. And there are studies out there and they've never managed to progress it to market. But there are male pills, male gels that are based around testosterone or testosterone derivatives. So if you take testosterone as a supplement, you will actually naturally suppress sperm production in your body. So you take a bodybuilder that takes testosterone and takes a lot of it, he's probably not making any sperms because his body is getting all this testosterone from elsewhere. There is an adaptation of a vasectomy that is in trials that has been in research for about 15 years called Vasil Gel, and it's part of the ADAM project. But what that is injecting a gel into the vas deferens itself. And then if you change your mind, you can flush the gel out. So it's basically something to block up the vas. Everybody thinks that's great, you can inject it in. It's not that simple. The vas deferens is about 5 to 8 millimeters in diameter. So the tunnel in the middle of it is even smaller.
It's really precision.
So you're still going to have to do the initial stages of a vasectomy as an open skin, get the vas directly injected, because it's going to be very difficult to inject that through the skin.
Why, given the fact that they were talking about coitus interruptus, I think is the phrase in the Bible, isn't it? In the book of Genesis. So, I mean, we've been talking about contraception and birth control for generations. Why are there so few alternatives for men out there other than a vasectomy or a condom? Is it because largely they don't take responsibility for birth control?
So if you go back to when contraceptive pills were first put on the market, it would have been probably women should take responsibility for it. And once they manage to get a successful contraceptive pill for women, then everything evolves around that market, and the pharmaceutical market will go with where the money is. And that's why all the research has been put into that for years. I think we're catching up, but it's probably a conversation you and I will have in 5 or 8 years again.
5 or 8 or 10 or 15 yeah. or 20. I mean, it is going on and on and on. Jerry Ryan talked about getting a vasectomy done in the year 2000, and I'm sure it caused shock waves in the radio. 25 years later, you're still saying only somewhere between 10 and 12% of Irish men getting it done. So, you know, there hasn't been this huge, huge development. Do you think men should take more responsibility?
Oh, I think men should take more responsibility, as long as they're willing to do it. It's a joint decision as a couple. So if you make the decision, family's complete, you look at your options, you go, as a man, you go, okay, my other half can get the coil or get the implant on. There's advantages to those. They're really effective as well. Like the coil is about 1 in 1,000 failure rate. The implant is nearly as effective as a vasectomy, but they're hormonal products. So you get side effects from them, potentially. The advantage is if you get side effects from those, you remove the device, the side effects go away. So there is an advantage to that. More, if you talk to any GP working in a busy practice, they'll tell you that they are putting coils in all day long because they're free up to the age of 35. Again, that's just an example of make something free and it'll be used more. So you can apply the same to vasectomies.
Well, Dr. John McCormick of Vasectomy Ireland, thank you so much for coming in to us today. I feel like my contribution to the next dinner party is going to be really worthwhile, because that was full of myth-busting information into the world of male contraception. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ciara.
That's it for another edition of the podcast. We'll be back again tomorrow with another News Talk Daily. But for now, from me, Ciara Doherty, goodbye.